Charlie's Out by Brandon Thomas. Adapted for radio by Jonathan Hall.
Canyons, my darling. Rather strong, that. My dear Miss Verdump. No, too formal. I'm not a bit what I really feel. My dear Kitty. Hang it. Why not? My dear...
I say!
Oh, hang it all! Jack!
Oh, it's you, Charlie.
I don't want to interrupt you if you're busy.
It's all right, Charlie, don't go. I'm just trying to write a most important letter.
A letter?
I'm nervous and naggy and nonplussed with it.
So am I, Jack.
Oh.
You see, I've been trying to write a letter too.
Have you? To whom?
Miss Spettigill.
Miss Amy Spettigill. Kitty Verdun's friend.
Yes.
I say, how far have you got?
Oh, I began awfully well, but, well, I didn't want to be too distant, and I didn't like to be too...
Familiar.
Exactly. So I just said, my dear Amy, and then words failed me, so I come to you for your advice. You always know what to say, and do.
Do I?
You know my idiotic complaint. I'm shy, you're not.
Aren't I?
So, prescribe for me, old chap. What on earth am I to say?
You want to write a letter to Miss Spettigill?
Yes. You see, they're all off to Scotland tomorrow.
And you want to know if there's any hope before she goes away?
To a tea, old chap. And I can't think what to write.
Well, I should say something for this affair.
Well, hang on, let me get a pen.
My dear Kitty.
Not Kitty, Amy.
Oh. Of course. What am I thinking of? My dear... No. My dearest Amy, forgive me, darling, for thus addressing you, but I love you so deeply, underlined.
I have to say, that's rather strong, Jack.
Shut up. So earnestly, also underlined...
I say...
...that I must write and tell you before you go away. All I ask is...
Hang on. You see this... There's one obstacle to my putting it quite as straight as that.
Obstacle? What obstacle?
Well, you see, I've an aunt.
My dear Charlie, most of us have. What about her?
I feel I ought to tell her first.
Oh, well, if you're going to drag an aunt into the business, we may as well wait till you'll come back from Scotland.
Why?
But you know what an aunt is when she steps in.
Well, no, I don't. But that's just it. I don't know her. I've never even seen her.
Well, we won't be too hard on that aunt, then. She obviously hasn't interfered much in your affairs up till now.
Well, except to find out that I was an orphan and to have me sent to Eton and to Oxford. And now she writes to me that she's coming here this morning by early train and will take luncheon with me at 1 o'clock.
And you've never seen her?
No, she went to Brazil before I was born and became a sort of secretary to a very rich old Brazilian chap out there, Don Pedro de Alvadores. And now, by the merest accident in the world, I've seen this.
Today's Times. It has come to the attention of our columnists that Madame Dona Lucia de Alvadores, the Brazilian millionaireess, is in fact an English-born woman of both genial disposition and financial genius, I say. Indeed, it was her capacity in this direction that earned the gratitude of her late husband and led to a romantic deathbed marriage.
Go on, Jack, read the next.
Her only relation is a nephew at Oxford. Well, George, Charlie. This is a startler. And she may be here any minute.
Well, I've met all the trains up till now. I wish she'd have come some other day.
She'll probably arrive by the next. Just in time for lunch.
Yes, it's a bore.
I don't know so much about that.
Well, I wanted to get that letter to Amy written. It's an awfully difficult letter to write.
Listen, Charlie, I've got a clinking good idea.
Well, hang on, let me get the pen.
Not for the letter, for me, for both of us. Listen, you've gone on Amy Spettigill. And I'm gone on Miss Verdun.
But Kitty Verdun?
Madly.
I'm so glad, old boy.
I've never felt like this about anything before. Not even cricket. I was writing to tell her so when you came in. There's the letter. What's left of it?
So, what's your idea?
Why not ask them over here?
Without a chaperone? Come on, old boy.
We'll give a luncheon party.
Luncheon party?
For your aunt, with tea afterwards in the garden.
But what about Amy and Kitty?
We can ask them along to meet your aunt.
I see. Oh, no. Hang on.
What?
What about old Spettigill?
Who?
Amy's uncle. Kitty's guardian. He'd never agree. And not if all the aunts in the world were here.
Lo.
Wait a sec. I forgot. Amy said he was up in town for a few days before they went north.
So much the better. It's such a glorious opportunity. There has to be today.
Well, they're off to Scotland tomorrow.
But today, we shall have them all to ourselves. And we couldn't have asked them if it hadn't been for your aunt. We'll have a topping lunch, and then when you and your dear old aunt are having a look at the chapel and the cloisters, Kitty and I can have our little talk.
Hang on, Jack. Well, that's all very well, but what about Amy and me and our little talk? She'll be in our way horribly.
I never thought of that.
If only we could ask someone else along to talk to her.
You've got it. Someone we can depend upon.
Well, there must be someone we could ask.
There's Freddie Peel.
Him?
What about him?
He's hardly the chap to ask to meet my aunt.
At least he wouldn't want to make love to our girls.
All the same.
I've got it. Babs. Fanny Babs.
We'll ask him. Of course. Why didn't we think of him before?
He's a jolly cheerful little chap. He'll amuse your aunt like the deuce and keep in a rattling good humour.
Splendid.
And while Babs is doing gooseberry with your aunt, we can have our chat with the girl.
So what on earth could that be?
Come in! Babs!
Yes. What an extraordinary coincidence.
Oh, hello, Charlie.
Hello, Babs.
I say, Babs, what on earth is that in your hair?
Oh, nothing.
It looks like a hairpin.
Is it? Oh, my jingo, how did that get there? Anyway, I don't mean to be rude. I just wondered if you could see your way clear to lending a chap a bit of cash. The thing is, I'm rather short.
So are we.
I only need a few shillings. I need to buy a certain something.
You've come to the wrong place, old chap.
I can let you have it back. You know Freddie Peel, don't you?
We certainly do.
The awful idiot hasn't a particle of brain. He gave one of his card parties last night.
Did he?
I won £100 from him. You should have seen his face. Makes me laugh even now. So you see, I can pay you back.
Freddie Peel hasn't sixpence.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, it's common knowledge. Did he pay you?
Well, he's going to. When his grandmother died.
Babs! The old lady's been dead years.
Really? That's beastly. You know, I'm stumped and he's had an awful lot out of me.
Well, if you will be such a fool as to go to one of his parties.
Well, can't you ask for credit?
Well, the thing is, what I want, it's a bit, delicate.
What do you want to buy?
Well, the hairpins, if you must know.
Hairpins?
Look, never mind that. Babs, we want you to come to lunch with us today.
I can't. I've got this prior engagement.
What could you possibly have on the last day of term?
I have to see my tutor.
There's a first.
Your tutor's already gone to that conference thingy in Rome.
Oh, has he? Without telling me. How rude.
Oh, come on, Fanny.
All right. Well, if you must know, I'm going to the theatre.
The theatre at lunchtime?
Well, if that's all, it can surely wait. Come on, Babs. You must come to lunch. Charlie's aunt is going to pay him a visit.
Oh, really? Well, what fun for you.
And what we want is a jolly smart chap like you with a fund of humour and a lot of brilliant conversation.
Yes, Bab, that's it.
To interest and amuse a charming lady.
Oh, really? Who?
Charlie's aunt, of course.
Donna Lucia de Alvadores.
Dear me, what a name. What's she like?
Well, you see, Babs, the thing is, we don't quite know. You see, I have to see her today for the first time.
I say, Charlie, she may turn out to be an awful old crock.
She's a widow and a millionaire.
On the other hand, she may be quite charming.
That's what we think.
A charming old lady. I say, look here, haven't you got anything younger coming?
Oh, yes, two others.
Ladies? Men?
Ladies, of course.
Nice? Young?
We certainly think so.
Now, that's more in my line. How many did you say?
Two.
Two? Oh, hang on, I see. Yes, one for each of you and the old crock for me. No, thanks. If it's all the same to you, I think I'll keep my appointment at the theatre.
Now, listen, Babs, this is an awfully serious affair.
I should think so, with an old crock like that.
We want your help as a friend.
A friend we can trust.
What's trust got to do with it?
Look, we'll take you into our confidence straight as a die.
Oh?
We're in love.
You?
No fool of a flirtation business, but the real downright serious thing.
And Charlie, is he in love too?
If you knew the girls as well as we do, you wouldn't wonder at it.
And they're coming for lunch today.
Have you proposed?
No, that's just it.
You want me to propose for you?
No.
We'll do that for ourselves. That's why we've asked them to come. Why are you smirking in that way?
Am I old? I'm sorry. It's just the thought of you in love.
You know, Bab, I do believe you don't understand our feelings one bit.
Oh, don't I, though? You see, the dashed funny thing is, well, haven't you noticed how sad I've been lately? Not my usual jovial self.
I have, now you come to mention it.
Why do you think that?
You've not been sent down again. I told you about Freddie Peel and his crew.
No, it's nothing like that. You see, the thing is, I think I'm in love.
You? In love? What makes you think that?
Well, I've always wanted to be alone and hear the little birds sing.
Cripes!
I'm getting so fond of poetry. I can't sleep when I keep looking at the clouds and the moonlight.
Well, you've certainly got all the symptoms.
Yes.
Sit down and tell us about it.
Well, you remember when I got sent down?
Because of the card party?
No, not that time. The time before. That business with the bursar. When Father sent me on that yacht round the Mediterranean, anyway, at Monte Carlo, I came across an English officer named Delahaye. It was a sad case. He was penniless and dying. You know, Jack, chap tried to commit suicide.
Bad luck at the tail, eh?
Absolutely. He beggared himself and his only child, the sweetest little girl you ever saw, Jack. Anyway, to amuse him and keep his spirits up, I used to play cards with him.
And what became of him?
He died, poor fellow.
And what became of her? The sweetest little girl you ever saw?
Well, I lost sight of her. A lady travelling home that way. From South America, I believe. Took charge of her and brought her to England. You know, I tried to tell her that I, well...
loved her?
Well,
at any rate, you can sympathise with us. Look, you will stay, Babs. You can see how we need
you. But look, Jack, like I said, I've got something else to do.
The theatre can wait, surely.
But you see, I'm not so much going to see a play as be in a play.
Be in a play?
Christ.
It's just an amateur theatrical Freddie Peel and his chums have got up.
You'll be sent down again.
I've given my word.
And what do you play in these amateur theatricals?
Well, if you must know, it's a lady.
Bad, after last time.
You'll definitely be sent down.
An old lady, only I've never tried on the costume, so I was going to go a bit early and try and get a bit of practice in it. That's why I need the hairpins.
And what time does all this start?
8 o'clock, only I'll need plenty of time.
Look, for goodness sake, you can stay for lunch and go straight onto the theatre from here.
Well,
you'll have stacks of time.
I don't know.
Have your get-up sent over here.
Well,
please.
Oh, very well. Let me go and get my things sent round.
Think as you can.
Yes, you are.
I say, Jack, are you sure about this? I mean, if this gets out...
Relax, old man. No one will know. He'll come for lunch. Charm the pants off the old lady and no one will ever be the wiser. Come on. Let's write that invitation for the girl.
It's gone 12. They should be here soon.
Not for another half hour yet, at least. Relax, old boy.
I only wish I could see my little girl.
Oh, she'll turn up one of these days. Have a drink.
No, I've knocked all that off.
Just a small...
Well, I'm going to be on stage soon.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll drink her health, wherever she is. Here's to the future Lady Fancourt Baverley. What did you say her name was?
Miss Ella Delahaye.
Miss Ella Delahaye.
Oh. I say... Thanks, chaps.
What's the time now?
Just gone 12:30.
Relax, Charlie. I tell you, they won't be here till 1 at the earliest. I say, Baz, old man, why not try on your costume tonight?
What, here?
I say, Jack.
Oh, come on. No one will see. It'll stop you watching the clock and pacing up and down like a tiger.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on. It'll be good practice. You need to practice with your hairpins.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try them on after lunch.
No fear. We shall want you with us to talk to the old aunt. Come on. It won't take long, will it?
Only a minute or two.
Go on, it'll be a fearful two.
Where shall I go to change?
Use my bedroom too there, you know where it is. Shan't be a tip.
You think this is such a good idea?
Relax, no one will know.
Hello, it's
Freddy. It's them. They're early.
And your aunt's not even here.
What shall we do?
We can't send them away. Look, you go and tell Babs to stay put until we get the word.
We'll do.
Come in!
Hello. Hello, Mr. Chesney. How do you do?
How do you do? So kind of you to come.
Oh, we were very pleased to be able to come, weren't we, Amy?
Oh, yes. Oh, but where is Mr. Wickham?
Here I am. Just checking something. Hello.
I do hope we're not too old.
Oh, no. What makes you think that?
Oh, yes, Mr. Chesney, you didn't mention any time.
Oh, not at all. We're delighted to see you at any time.
So this is where you think and study and do all your work and everything.
Oh, yes. We do a lot of that sort of thing, yes.
They're very jolly quarters.
And where is Donna Lucia?
Well...
A woman of independent means and no small business acumen. Or so it's said in the Times. I'm longing to know her.
She hasn't arrived yet.
Oh. Kitty, do you hear that? Mr. Wickham's aunt hasn't arrived yet.
Hasn't arrived? Well, then we must go. Do some shopping.
Kitty.
If Uncle Stephen finds out...
He won't. And we'll come back when she's here.
Oh, surely...
Goodbye. Come along, Amy.
Goodbye, Charlie.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well.
See that? Oh, like a shot when they found your arm wasn't here.
Makes an awful difference, doesn't it?
Now, look here. You cut off to the station and bundle the old girl here in a fly. I'll see after lunch and keep an eye on Babs. We don't want him running out on us.
All right. I say, Jack,
I feel happier now I've seen them, don't you?
What? Oh, yes. Now go on, be off. Well, there was a lot of hope in what Kitty just said. In another minute, I'd have told her that anyway, everything's going splendidly.
Jack!
Dad?
Don't come in yet. I don't want to spoil the surprise. Have they gone?
Yes.
Oh, they didn't stay very long. I thought they were coming for lunch.
They're coming back later on. Oh, no. Who can this be? You'd better stay out of sight, Dad.
Rather.
I'll get rid of them quickly, whoever they are. It better not be Freddie Peel.
Dad!
My dear boy.
Dear Dad! What brings you here? Where do you come from?
From town, my lad, to have a chat with you and bring you your check.
Thanks, Dad. You're a brick.
A bit overbaked, my boy, after all those years in India.
Nonsense. How old are you?
Oh, well, what do you say to 50?
50?
One?
Who'd believe it?
And you, Jack, let me look at you. Well, you seem much older than I was at your age. I suppose it's the times. Well, we all grow old.
Old? You? Why, dear old Dad, even you are 50.
One.
51. Why, other chaps your age are stout, white-haired, top-booted, domineering old boys. And here you are, a smart, bang-up-to-date sort of chap who can talk to like a chum.
Here you are, my boy. There's your check to go on with.
Thanks, Dad.
I see you're expecting guests.
Nice spread.
Oh, yes. It didn't cost too much, not really.
Yes. Now, we must begin to think.
Think.
Now that I have come into the family title, as you know, I have also, which you don't know, come into family debts and difficulties.
Debts?
Which are far more than I expected, with the result that all the money I've been saving for you in India goes to pay them. And in short, Jack, you and I, for the next few years, will be, comparatively speaking, poor men.
Poor men?
However, I am in hopes of a small appointment for you.
Oh.
In Bengal.
Bengal?
What was that?
Oh, just someone in the bedroom.
Oh, just the same as me.
There's a thing. I'll have to get Babs changed before the dad lays eyes on him, and the aunt for that matter. Of course. The aunt. Dad, I've an idea. Couldn't this thing be settled by a wealthy marriage?
Now, Jack, that's the sort of thing I rather deprecate.
Listen a sec. I've got a friend.
Yes, in the bedroom.
Charlie Wickham. His aunt's coming here for lunch today. She's a widow.
The thing is, Jack...
And a millionaire.
A millionaire?
And a charming woman.
But, Jack, will you be happy?
Not for me. You.
Me? You young rascal. I shall certainly never marry again.
Oh, don't be rash, Dad. Think it over. Listen, where are your things?
At the hotel.
Well... You dash off and change, make yourself look as nice as possible, and come back to lunch. Oh, and put a flower in your buttonhole.
Jack!
Oh, hello. Dad, Charlie Wickham, Charlie, my father.
I'm glad to know you, my boy.
How do you do, sir?
Charlie's her nephew, you know, the lady who's coming to lunch at 1 o'clock.
Jack, why don't you come to lunch with me?
Oh, don't be rash, Dad. At least see her first. She may be a flowerette.
Oh, very well, Jack. I'll have a look at her, but I'm not keen. Anyway, I'll see you both later on, Charlie.
Goodbye, sir.
And don't forget to put a flower in your buttonhole. Takes years off a man, a flower in his buttonhole.
51.
So, what's the mad panic, old man?
Read that.
Important business. Don't expect me for a few days. Lucia Dalvatore. No!
She's not coming.
But she must. Go wire telegraph.
There's no time.
But hang it. Even with Dad here, the girls won't remain without a lady chaperone. What are we to do?
Isn't there someone else we could ask?
Who?
Hello, boys. Just take a look at me.
Oh, my God.
I say.
I seem to keep knocking things over with this wretched skirt.
What the deuce is it?
That, Charlie, old boy, is a miracle, an answer to a prayer.
Bab, is that you under all that getup?
Of course it's me.
No, it isn't.
Eh?
That, Charlie, my boy, is your aunt.
My aunt?
It's the only one you've got. You'll have to make the best of her.
My star's the girl.
Oh, I say, hadn't I better get changed?
No, you most certainly must not.
Jack, let go.
You see, Charlie's aunt can't come.
So?
They won't stop if she's not here.
I say, Jack, no.
So you must be Charlie's aunt.
Me? No. Let go.
Mind out.
Charlie, help me get off. He's gone crazy.
Charlie.
Wait.
After him. Bring him back in here.
Thank you.
Miss Fedon. Miss Fenneview, ah. You've come back. So glad.
Yes, we've been longer than we intended, but Amy wanted to get some flowers for Charlie's aunt. Is she here? Gracious.
Yes, she's here, all right.
Come along, Auntie.
Oh.
Donna Lucia, Miss Pettigrew, Miss Verdun. Ladies, Donna Lucia Talvadores. Charlie's aunt.
Hello, Donna Lucia. I'm so pleased to meet you.
Say something, Auntie.
How do you do, my dear?
We called upon you before, but you hadn't arrived.
So we went and bought you these flowers.
Oh, why, thank you.
I hope your journey from town hasn't tired you.
No, it was very jolly. Pleasant,
I mean. Yes. What am I to do with these flowers?
Stick them in your dress.
What? You look worried, Mr. Wickham. Are you ill?
No, just a bit anxious. Ladies, do take a look at the view of the gardens from the back window.
Oh, how lovely. Perhaps later on we could visit the garden.
Oh. What did you say my name was?
Donna Lucia Dalvadores.
What am I, Irish? No, English. Married a Portuguese abroad.
A widow.
From Brazil.
And a millionaire.
I say, Charlie, have I any children?
No, you haven't.
Well, steady on, a chap ought to know these things. All right, now I can go ahead. Stand back.
What wonderful weather we're having!
Yes, it is. Yes. We were just admiring the college gardens. You'd never guess from the street they were there.
Perhaps I should take the young ladies to see the chapel and the cloister.
No, you leave that to me and Charlie. We'll attend to them.
You're staying till tomorrow, are you not, Donna Lucia?
I don't know, am I?
No, you're not.
Auntie, dear?
No, I'm not.
Oh, but you are. Oh, what a pity.
I'm afraid Auntie can't stay after today.
No, you see, it's my washing day.
Your washing
day? You see, she has so much business to attend to in town.
Yes. Lawyers, stocks.
Yes, stocks and socks. It's all very important, you know.
Well, I'm so sorry. We have so longed to know you.
Have you? Oh, my dear girl.
Jackie's taken her hand.
Mr. Wickham has told us so much about you that he has made us quite love you.
Oh, has he, my dear?
Now he's got his arm around her waist.
Come and sit here on the sofa with me, my dear child. But that's right, yes. Come close. Let's not stand on ceremony.
Jack!
He's so grateful. He says he owes you everything.
Well, it was only my duty to see after the welfare of my poor brothers, sisters, and brother-in-law's orphan girl.
Boy!
Yes, but it was so good of you to find out. You were so far away in a foreign land, and he might have been left to starve or fall into cruel hands. But you have a good, kind, affectionate nature.
Oh, my dear.
I can see it on your face. I feel I could tell my whole heart to you. You don't mind my talking to you like this, do you?
My dear, you are a charming girl of whom I am sure I could soon grow very fond.
Oh, so sorry, Auntie. Was that my elbow?
Yes, it jolly well was.
It's my father. Charlie, go and let him in.
Your father? Jack, you must go and get rid of him.
No.
What?
Don't you see? It's the ideal way to stop Babs making up to Amy and Kitty. Excuse us a moment.
Whoa.
Look out. Here's my father.
Am I any relation to him?
No, you're Charlie's aunt from Brazil.
Brazil?
You know where the nuts come from. Ah, oh, Dad. Miss Verdun, Miss Pettigrew. I'd like you to meet my father, Sir Francis Chesney.
Delighted.
Go on, Charlie. Introduce your aunt.
Donna Lucia de Alvadores, Sir Francis Chesney, Jack's father.
How do you do, Sir Francis?
How do you do?
I'm Charlie's aunt from Brazil, where the nuts come from.
I say, Jack, is that the lady?
Yes.
The millionaire lady?
Yes.
Oh, by Jones. Now, look here, my dear boy. Don't you see it's impossible?
What's impossible?
Proposing. I mean, look at her.
Oh, no. You don't have to propose.
What?
Just talk to her. Talk to her long enough for me to propose. Right. Shall we all sit down? Dad, will you sit with Donna Lucia?
I'd be delighted.
Thank you.
So here you are.
Uncle!
Mr. Spettigrew!
I was right all along.
But I thought you were in town, Uncle Stephen.
Obviously. It's just as well I'm not in town.
How did you know we were here?
Fortunately, the servants respect me more than you appear to, my dear Kitty.
Mr. Spettigrew.
Don't address me, sir! So, guests, this is how you take advantage of my absence.
Mr. Spettigrew.
Don't address me, sir! I've no wish to have any converse with you.
But won't you allow us to explain?
My business is with these young ladies and not with you.
But won't you listen to either of them?
Go away, madam, and don't interfere.
Perhaps you will remember, sir, that ladies are present. Absolutely.
I disapprove of their presence and request them to return with me.
I'm sure he's had us followed. Why would he do that? To give him an excuse to sever our connection with Jack and Charlie, that's why.
Girls!
Look, perhaps we can discuss this matter on a more fitting occasion. Why not stay and have something to eat?
A most excellent suggestion. Give him a chicken leg.
You're a very foolish old woman, and I must beg you not to interfere. Girls, come!
Sir, you cannot put such an affront on Mr. Wickham's friends.
Friends? I don't know them.
Introduce me, Charlie.
Mr. Spettigrew, Sir Francis Chesney.
Mr. Chesney is my son, and this lady...
Pray don't introduce me to him. I've been sufficiently insulted by the old Bath gentleman already. I consult my own feelings when I say that I'm deeply annoyed to find on prematurely returning from town my niece and my ward lunching without my permission with these two young gentlemen.
To meet Mr. Wickham's aunt.
Oh, indeed.
There is no indeed about it, sir. I repeat, to meet Mr. Wickham's aunt. Allow me to introduce Donna Lucia Dalvadoris.
Donna Lucia Dalvadoris? The millionaire from South America?
Donna Lucia, Mr. Spettigrew.
How do you do?
How do you do? I am Charlie's aunt from Brazil, where the nuts come from.
I can see I've been somewhat indiscreet. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry.
You're very rude.
I'm sorry. I'm so very sorry, dear lady.
Perhaps you would like to stay to lunch.
What? If you wish it, and I'm forgiven.
Forgiven? Certainly.
But for that you're playing at.
Allow me, Donna Lucia.
No, allow me.
I insist.
So do I.
Boys, boys.
Jack!
We'll have the tea out here, I think. Over by the sundial. Away from this secluded little corner.
Jack!
Charlie, I thought you were with the others.
Look, it worries the life out of me to see Babs talking away to the others in the garden.
Well, don't look then.
Jack!
Hang it all, Charlie. I've a most particular appointment here with Kitty. This is the only quiet place apart from the greenhouse. It's taken me all lunchtime to arrange this meeting, so hook it.
But so have I, Jack.
With Kitty?
No, with Amy.
Mr. Chesney!
Look, I was here first and all that.
But what about me and Amy?
Mr. Wickham.
First come, first serve.
Hang it all, Jack.
There you are. Oh, hello, Charlie.
Kitty, my dear girl.
Charlie.
Over here, Amy.
Oh. Hello, Jack. Kitty.
I say, Charlie, have you shown Miss Pettigrew the garden?
Two or three times.
And do you like the garden, Miss Pettigrew?
I suppose I do.
Suppose? Oh, you can't half have seen it if you only suppose. Charlie, go and show Miss Pettigrew the whole garden.
Jack!
Take her and show her the roses and primroses and the cabbages and things.
But Jack!
And don't forget, Miss Pettigrew, tea here by the sundial in about half an hour. Go on. Off you pop.
Come along, Amy.
Oh, but I've already seen the garden.
At last, Miss Verdun. My dear Kitty. Kitty.
Yes?
Won't you sit down? I have something to say to you important.
Indeed, Mr. Jesney?
Yes. Well, you know, Miss Verdun, there are times when a fellow's got to think a lot and think long.
I suppose so.
And there are times when a fellow mustn't stop to think, or if he does, he'll spoil his charm.
Yes.
Well, then, Miss Verdun, Kitty, my dear...
Oh! Beg your pardon.
Sir Francis.
Hang it.
Don't mind me, my dear. I only wanted to have a word with my boy. Huh?
Of course, Sir Francis. In that case, I'll run into the garden. Go and see the roses and the primroses and the cabbages and things. I'll see you both later.
Well, Dad, anything important?
Yes, Jack, my boy, it is.
Oh? What is it?
Well, Jack, you know I'd do anything to see you get on in the world and make a mark, as you know. You will, if you'll get your chance.
You needn't tell me all this, Dad.
Well, Jack, having thought it over, I've decided that you shall continue the career I originally mapped out for you. And seeing a way out of the difficulty, I'm determined to take your advice, my boy, and marry a lady of wealth.
I see. You mean you've fallen victim to the fascinations of some young and lovely...
No, Jack, she's not lovely. And I'm afraid she's not over young. For she has one thing in her favor. She has money, which, after all, is the real object in this instance.
Who is she? What's her name?
Can't you guess?
No.
Donna Lucia d'Alvadoris.
Dad! This is impossible!
Impossible? Why? You yourself suggested it, and for your sake, my lad, I'm going to do it.
But, Dad! You can't!
Can't? Why not? Is there anything against the lady's reputation?
No, but you mustn't! You can't!
Mustn't? Can't? Why, Jack, what a boy you are! Didn't you tell me to go to my hotel, change my things, put a flower in my buttonhole?
But, Dad, circumstances have altered since then.
In what way?
Well, you're too good for her. You're not the man to be thrown away like this.
Oh, Jack, say no more, my boy. Your consideration for your old father settles it. I'm going to do it for you.
Oh.
It would put you forward years. Had she been young and lovely, she wouldn't have looked at me. As it is, I flatter myself she's rather taken a fancy to me. Despite old Spettigue and his marked attentions.
Spettigue's attentions?
I like to think he doesn't even stand a ghost of a chance.
Great heavens.
So, wish me luck, Jack. Wish me luck.
Take time, Dad. Think it over.
Think it over, he says. That's not the way an old soldier makes love. Now, I'm going to your rooms to make myself a rattling good brandy and soda to bring me up to the mark. See you later.
Oh, good grief.
Jack! Jack! You've got to speak to Babs. He's carrying on disgracefully. He's taken Amy away from me and gone off round the garden with her.
Well, that's nothing to what's going on round here. Hear that?
What is it?
My dad getting himself a rattling good brandy and soda.
What for?
To propose to Bab, that's what for.
What? I knew something awful would come of this. We should be found out, disgraced, and all three of us sent down. How could you let it go on?
Well, don't blame me. It was the fault of your muddle-headed aunt for not knowing her own mind and leaving us in the lurch.
What shall we do?
We must find Bab and tell him what the dad's planning. Come on, we can go around the garden in different ways until we've got him. I'll kill a little monkey when I get hold of him.
Jack, look, there they are.
Where?
Coming out of the cloisters.
They must have been there all along.
They're arm in arm.
Hey, Mr. Wickham, yoo-hoo. Did you think you'd lost us?
Yes, I did.
Audrey,
where have you been, you fool?
The cloisters. And now we're going to see the chapel.
Oh, but I've seen the chapel.
Awfully pretty, isn't it? Why not have another look?
Oh, well, I was hoping to...
See it again, of course. Not you, Donna Lucia. Oh. I want a word with you. Get away from here, Charlie, while I talk to Babs.
Come along, Amy.
Oh, but I... Oh, very well, Charlie.
What on earth are you playing at?
What do you mean?
You promised to help us.
I'm doing my best.
Doing your best to get us all sent down. Your business was to look after these two old chaps, and here you are, gallivanting off with Amy and Kitty.
But it's not my fault if they've taken a shine to me.
Yes, and talking of which, I want to put you on your guard.
My guard against what?
My dad.
Well, what about your dad? I know he asked to meet me, but I thought it was something to do with you.
He's going to propose to you.
He's going to what?
Ask you to be his wife.
Is he rich?
Bad!
Only joking, don't worry. I'm going to refuse him.
Of course you're going to refuse him!
How does one do that?
I don't know. Just remember you're a real old lady.
How the dickens can I do that when I've got trousers on under my skirt?
Never mind that. Oh, here's Dad.
No,
remember,
no.
Real old lady.
Jack, don't leave me. Come back. I've never been proposed to by a man before. At least not...
Here.
Oh, my dear Donna Lucia, here you are. I was beginning to be afraid I wouldn't find you. Thank you for agreeing to meet me like this. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. I prefer to stand so I can run if I have to.
Donna Lucia, you'll pardon the rude metaphor of an old campaigner. I'm sure, but to meet you today for the first time, as I have done, is to me like a lonely traveler coming across some bright floweret by the wayside. By George, she looks anything between 50 and 100.
Donna, who are you talking to?
Donna Lucia, do you know what a man longs for? When he's lonely, desolate, and wretched.
A drink?
No. No, Donna Lucia, this is what he longs for. He longs to plant in his own heart that bright little floweret.
Does he really?
Yes, Donna Lucia, yes, and I have come all the way from India to find that little floweret.
You must be tired.
It is a long way, Donna Lucia.
I can imagine.
But I have found that floweret.
Then why don't you put it in your buttonhole?
The floweret, I mean, must sit at the head of my table, walk by my side, dwell in my heart forever.
What a versatile little floweret for me.
Yes, Donna Lucia, I'll waste no more words. I'll come to the point with a soldier's bluntness.
No!
Will you be my wife? Will you be my little floweret?
Well, you really have taken me by surprise, you naughty boy.
Then may I hope?
No, oh no, absolutely not.
I beg your pardon, Donna Lucia.
You see, the thing is, I am another's.
Another's? Thank God for that.
I say, don't be downhearted. I'll tell you what I'll do, if you like.
Yes?
I'll be a sister to you.
And no words of mine can alter the situation, obviously.
I'm afraid not. You see, I'm in a more peculiar position than I could ever explain. I am a woman with a history.
Then it is quite useless prolonging this interview. I hope, Donna Lucia, you will accept my regrets and apologies for ever having broached the subject.
Oh, certainly.
That was a close one. Now, I'm sorry, of course, for the boy's sake, but after all, I think another brand is called for.
Ah, oh, you shouldn't sneak up on a fellow like that. I suppose you were listening.
I most certainly was. What did you want to go and make a fool of my dad like that for?
I wasn't the one calling people flowerets by the wayside.
Why didn't you cut him short and refuse him at once?
I couldn't refuse him until he'd proposed. No lady could. Well, I shall find myself at the divorce court before I know where I am.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Lord. It's Spettergue again.
Come on, let it.
At least your dad's a gentleman.
Come on.
I tell you, Jack, Charlie's aunt, whoever she is, had a great deal to answer for.
Wait!
Mummy! Donna Lucia! Wait! I only want a word!
I say, excuse me. Oh, he's gone, Auntie.
What a nuisance. Still, he looked far too old to be my nephew.
The butler said we should find them in the garden.
Well, this most definitely is the garden. We shall just have to look some more.
Do you want your fan, Auntie?
Not at all. After Brazil, this hardly seems warm at all. I suppose this is the right garden.
It's the one nearest the rooms. And the rooms did say Chesney on the door.
Chesney. I wonder why that name sounds familiar. Oh, why couldn't my nephew stay in his rooms and not compel me to chase him halfway across Oxford like this?
You did telegraph to say you couldn't come.
I know, my dear, but I changed my mind.
Oh, isn't it all so beautiful here? I could roam about these places all day long.
Where you roam, I shall sit here until somebody comes.
And how lovely it must be by moonlight, where the shadows have no sudden fears, but are only folds in the mantle of sleep, and all is at peace.
And what has put all this about moonlight into your head today?
Oh, I don't know.
I think I can trace back all the little byways and flyways of thought that generally lead in one direction.
Oh, no. It's just all so sweet here.
So it was there, by moonlight, seen from the deck of a certain yacht. I remember a certain someone who told you, as you listened to the ship's bell, how you looked like the angel of the watch. He was a flattering person, that someone. What was his name again?
You know perfectly well.
Lord Fancourt Babbin. But I don't want your mind fixed on these things, my dear. Come and sit down. Listen, I meant to tell you later on, I've invested your poor father's money for you, and thanks to his forethought, free little girl, he has rendered you independent for life, and what is worse, independent of me.
Independent?
But you won't be, will you, Ella?
Of course not.
That's right. And tell me, how did your poor father come to have so large a sum of money by him like that? I thought he'd lost it all.
Papa won it at cards.
Won it at cards? When?
During his illness.
From whom?
From Fancourt Babberley.
Is Lord Babberley a gambler, too?
No.
I see.
Auntie, if I ever meet him again, may I give it back?
I don't think he'd take it, my dear.
Why not?
It seems to me he took too much trouble to lose it. Ah, my dear, you've set me thinking now.
Have I? What about?
Oh, all about someone who...
Oh, Auntie, do tell me.
It was before I went abroad to Brazil. I was very young and he was very shy. He never called me the angel of the watch, but he did get as far as a stammering compliment and a blush, and then...
And then?
Then he was ordered off with his regiment.
Without ever?
Without ever.
Oh, Auntie, how sad.
It was at a dance the evening before he went away.
And what was his name, Auntie?
Frank Chesney.
Chesney? Like on the doors?
Yes. That's what set me thinking. Ah, well, can't sit here remembering all day. We'd better go and see if we can find someone.
Hello. Are you looking for someone?
I'm afraid we're intruding.
Not at all. The college grounds are open to everyone. I am, so to speak, at home here merely because my son's rooms are just over there.
Mr.
Chesley. And you are?
And you, pardon my asking, are you, or rather were you, Lieutenant Frank Chesney?
I was.
And you don't remember me?
I acknowledge with regret that I have no recollection whatever.
Must be more than 20 years.
20 years. Where was the regiment then?
Then you've forgotten the day you first embarked for India?
No.
But you've forgotten the evening before?
No, not altogether.
Then?
Lucy! Good gracious. Could it be you?
A lot older and a lot grayer. Hello, Francis. Allow me to introduce my niece, Miss Delahaye.
Oh, how do you do, my dear?
Hello. And you really haven't met in all that time?
20 years.
Oh, and to think of that very dance, But you don't remember that, of course.
No?
No, because you never knew. But that night, by George, I nearly met Mayor. Well, yes, well, I remember that night perfectly. You were in white, tied up with blue.
Tied up with blue? Like a chocolate box.
Yes. You must see my son. He's a splendid fellow. These are his rooms, or rather, he has lent them to a college friend, a young fellow named Wickham.
Wickham?
Yes, that's right. And he's entertaining some ladies. Two young ladies and his aunt.
His aunt?
A lady from Brazil.
From Brazil?
Dona Lucia Dalvadorius.
What does she mean?
Do I understand you to say that Dona Lucia Dalvadorius is actually here?
In the garden, or she was 5 minutes ago. Why, do you know her?
I've heard of her.
Well, I must introduce you.
The name is Smythe. Mrs. Beverly Smythe.
Auntie!
Mrs. Beverly Smythe. Right then, shall we go and find the boys and Donna Lucia?
With pleasure. I'm so curious to meet them. Come, Ella.
They've gone. Thank goodness.
Did you know who they were?
Oh, some visitors here to see the gardens. We get them all the time. Dad must be showing them round. Anyway, here we are. At last, Kitty. Alone.
We are indeed.
Kitty. My dear Kitty.
Yes, Jack, you've said that before. Move aside, there's a dear, so I can sit down.
Kitty, do be serious. In a few hours, we'll be hundreds of miles away, and it may be months before we meet again, unless...
Unless what, Jack?
Well, I've told you how my father intended me for Parliament and all that.
Yes, 3 times.
Well, he tells me now that for the next few years, I shall have to give up all that and earn my own living.
Well, that will do you no harm, Jack.
Of course, yes. And to be practical and lay everything fairly before you, my position in life will be something in,
the city.
Right, so. And my home...
Suburban.
My personal income... ish. But under certain conditions, my fears would be nil and my hopes... tremendous.
Well, I hope those happy conditions will be realized to your heart's content.
Kitty, my dear,
They will never be realized without you.
At last.
Oh, now you're vexed with me.
Why should I be that, Jack?
You hate the city, you despise the suburbs.
Jack, as if I hadn't the heart to do what thousands of better girls than I have done. As if I couldn't guess all the happy fun there is to be got out of cooking and mending. And ministering to the wants and happiness of the man who will work and strive for the woman he loves.
You mean...
Try for me, Jack. For I love you, dearly.
You do?
As much as you love me, Jack.
Kitty.
My dear Kitty.
My dear Kitty.
Yes, time for that later. The question is... The question is, what's to be done about my guardian?
Spare you? I'll see him at once.
No, no, that won't do at all.
Won't it?
No, I must have his consent in writing.
In writing? Why?
So that he can't retract. You don't know him as well as I do. No. There's only one person who can get that written consent for us. He'll be a good boy and send it to me at once.
Who?
Charlie's aunt, Donna Lucia, of course.
Donna Lucia? But Kitty...
Now, don't ask questions. There's a good boy. But send it to me at once while I find Amy.
Kitty!
Jenna, I'll be by the sundial in 10 minutes.
Certainly, darling. I've done it!
Jack!
Oh, Charlie, it's you.
Listen, Jack, I've done it.
Then what?
I've let the cat out of the bag and told Amy everything.
You fool, what for? Told her what?
Why, that I love her.
Oh, is that all?
Yes, but Jack, she's gone off to find Donna Lucia to get her uncle's consent. We shall be in a dickens of a mess yet.
So keep cool, man, keep cool.
Hide me!
Back?
Oh,
Spratigue's after me. Quick, behind his hedge.
You too, Charlie.
Mind your shirt.
Sorry, old boy, please be it's caught. Oh, no. Donna Lucia! Come out! Come out! Wherever you are!
You'll drag us into an awful disgrace, Babs.
Me? You don't know the things he's been saying to me.
Old Spratigue? What things?
Well, he said it was... Oh. And he said... Oh, please! That is it! Jack, I can live this lie no longer.
Now, don't stop that. Some lies have got to be lived.
What for?
To save confessing them, you duffer.
Well, I wish to goodness you'd bring it all to an end.
So do I. My skirt's torn and I want a drink.
We'd be all right if only you'd be reasonable and behave like a lady.
That is it. Here, you chaps. I can't stand this any longer.
What are you doing?
He's taking his dress off.
Let Charlie have a go.
Stop it, Charlie.
Just when we need old Spettigue in his best humor, you don't risk everything. If it was your little girl, we'd do the same for you.
I'm not going to marry Spettigue. I could never be happy with a man like that. Let me go.
Donna Lucia, are you all
right? Perfectly, my dear.
You look flushed.
The heat, don't you know? These two dear boys were just fanning me.
Donna Lucia, we've been looking for you everywhere. Amy and I want so much to speak with you.
We're in a difficulty.
I know the feeling.
And we want you to be an angel. Now, Jack, do go away.
Yes, Charlie, do go away.
Go away, boys. They want me to be an angel.
Come on, Charlie.
I must end this. I must do something.
You could come and help me with the tea things.
See you later, boys.
Now, you know Amy's uncle, Mr. Spettigue, is my guardian, and under my father's will, gets nearly all my money if I marry without his consent.
And you know Jack and Kitty are in love with each other, and Jack's lost all his money or something.
And Amy and Charlie are in love with each other, too.
You don't object, do you?
Oh, no, my dear. You're more than welcome to him.
Oh, thank you.
You see, you'll give your consent to Charlie and Amy.
Now, we want Uncle's consent for me and for Kitty.
And we want you to be an angel and do it.
Do what?
Why get Mr. Spettigue's consent?
For both of us.
But you see, because of my marriage being a legal affair...
Because of her father's will.
The consent must be in writing.
You do follow, don't you?
Oh, yes. You're all in love and you want to get married.
And you must get Uncle's consent.
In writing.
Oh, but my dears, I have no influence over here.
Oh, but you're so clever and kind.
No.
And rich.
I know my uncle is very fond of you.
At any rate, you must try.
Oh, dear Donna Lucia, do say you will try.
We are going away.
Oh, my darlings, don't leave me.
We're going to Scotland.
Scotland? Where the whiskey comes from.
And you are our only hope.
Oh, Donna Lucia, have you ever been in love with a truly wonderful man?
Oh, yes. But it was a sort of boarding school thing.
What it means to us, don't you?
Then you'll get his consent for us, won't you?
Well, I'll do my best.
Donna Lucia!
Kitty, here's Uncle Stephen coming now.
Come on, quick, that way. No, not you, Donna Lucia. You sit here and talk to him.
You can't say no now. Good luck.
Amy, come on.
My dear Donna Lucia,
I've been looking for you all afternoon.
Have you now?
I've so much to say to you.
Oh,
Donna Lucia.
Hello.
Damn and blast.
Is that what you wanted to say?
No, not at all. Do forgive me. It's that tiresome woman from the garden again.
Hello. I don't believe we've met. Mr. Spatterview, will you introduce us?
Certainly. Donna Lucia, Mrs. Beverly Smith. Mrs. Beverly Smith, Donna Lucia de Alvadores.
How do you do? I'm Charlie's aunt from Brazil, where the nuts come from.
How do you do? I'm so interested to meet you.
Really?
I knew your late husband intimately.
Oh.
Hello, Donna Lucia.
Thank heavens. I mean, it's the others. Hello, over here.
Damn.
What are they up to?
Calm down. Nothing much can happen with old Mrs. Beverly What's-Her-Face there.
Do you think Donna Lucia had time to talk to Uncle?
I hope so. What was Jack thinking of, sending that lady to interrupt them like that?
Donna Lucia, Mr. Spatterview, Mrs. Beverly Smythe. Tea is being served now.
Oh, Auntie Dale.
This is my niece, Miss Ella Delahaye.
My angel of the watch.
Did you find out who she was, Auntie?
Some woman they brought in to impersonate me.
But why?
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I have a little proposition to make.
It's not...
Now, I want you, all of you, to come and stay at my house. You too, Mrs. Beverly Smythe, and your niece, of course. And you, Donna Lucia, will return with me in my carriage now.
What? I can't!
Of course you can.
I will take no denial. I want you, all of you, to come with me.
Thank you so much, Mr. Spatterview. The evening promises to be a most interesting one.
But my things!
My things!
I'll have them sent round.
Auntie!
What is it?
That voice! For a moment, I thought it was...
What, my dear?
Never mind. It's nothing.
And after dinner, Donna Lucia will be mine. Or I'm a Brazilian.
Dinner table like that.
It's so awfully dangerous and unkind of you, you know.
Instead of behaving in a dignified manner as Charlie's aunt, here you are going on like some disgraceful old washerwoman.
Yes, but you didn't see where old Spatterview put his hand.
Now, look here, Bath. This game won't do.
Game?
Game? I've let down Freddie Peel and everyone at the theatre, and now I'm lying in the worst possible way to the girl I love.
Who?
The girl...
What girl?
Miss Delahaye.
What? The girl with Mrs. What's-her-name Smythe?
Yes, Mrs. Buttercup Smythe's niece.
Well, what of her?
I've been trying to tell you all evening. She's the girl I met at Monte Carlo. And this butterscotch woman is the woman who took her away. Where are you going?
I've got to talk to her, of course.
Stop it, Charlie.
Look, get off.
What difference can it make to you now?
I want to talk to her.
What about?
I want to tell her what you fellows have been telling your girls. Hang it, I'm just as much in love as you are. Would you get off me?
Keep it down.
Was there ever such an idiot?
No, there never was.
Don't shout, you idiot.
Look, Charlie, we'll have to make some excuse. Get him out of here. I know. We can say she's ill, put him in a fly and be done with it.
Oh, you will you? In that case, Charlie, you'd better make some excuse to Miss Verdun for me.
Miss Verdun? What have you got to say to Miss Verdun? Come on, out with it.
Let me go first. It's just I promised to get Spatterview's consent to your marriage in writing.
What?
Kitty thinks it's the only way you'll be able to proceed with the match.
Bam!
Hush, they're coming.
How is your aunt, Mr. Wickham? We were afraid she might be ill.
Yes, is there anything the matter?
Auntie's been a little bit upset by the heat of the dining room, that's all.
The heat? I found it rather cold.
Yes, Charlie means the cold. You see, Donna Lucia's lived so long in a warm climate. She's often like this, isn't she, Charlie?
I hope Donna Lucia is all right.
Yes, is she?
Oh, yes. Mr. Chesney says she's all right now.
Well, Jack, dear, go and tell Mr. Spatterview he's most anxious and leave her with us.
Yes. We'll look after her now.
I am most anxious to talk to you properly, my dear Donna Lucia.
Come on, Charlie.
I see you fellows don't leave me like this. Shut up and sit down.
I wonder who she really is, Auntie.
Some old thing they got after receiving my telegram, no doubt. Look at her. If I thought they intended that to be like me, I'd never forgive them.
I don't know why, but in spite of everything, I feel I can somehow trust her.
Do come and sit down with us.
Donna Lucia, you sit next to me.
The gentlemen seem to be enjoying themselves.
Yes, lucky them.
That reminds me, I remember a very funny story, one that Don Pedro was very fond of telling.
Oh, do tell us, Mrs. Beverly Smile.
Yes, anything about Don Pedro would be so interesting. Do tell us.
Perhaps one of you young things would care to play for us.
But, of course, perhaps Donna Lucia would prefer to tell Don Pedro's story herself.
Don Pedro?
Your late husband, you know, Don Pedro Del Vadore.
Oh, yes, of course. I know his name. I just don't remember his stories. I don't hold with such frivolity.
Or perhaps you could tell us another story. You must know so many about
that. Why don't one of the young ladies play for us?
Oh, no, I'm so out of practice. And I know nothing new.
What about that charming little ballad?
What charming little ballad?
You know, Tarara Bum Dio.
I'm afraid I can't, Donna Lucia.
I know. Why don't you play something for us, Donna Lucia?
Me?
Don Pedro used to be forever going on about your beautiful singing voice.
I'm a trifle hoarse tonight.
Perhaps one of those charming little Brazilian ballads he was so fond of.
Oh, yes, what a good idea. Oh, do play for us, Donna Lucia.
Of course.
Do you want music?
No, thank you. Right, oh, what an exquisite piano. Oh dear. Of course, I'm used to Brazilian pianos.
Oh, are they very different?
Very.
But there was the London Steinway in the parlour of the house in Brazil.
Oh, yes, so there was.
How strange. Auntie, we really shouldn't play her along like this. It's time we found out who this person really is.
Come along, my dear friend, come along.
Oh, what a pity, I was just getting into my stride.
Donna Lucia, don't forget that letter of consent.
As if I could, my dear.
Now, here we all are. Amy, pass round the cigars. Unless, ladies, Mrs. Buttercup Smythe and Donna Lucia, you object to smoke?
Smoking? No, not at all. I like it. It kills the insects and things.
Just look at him, Jack, staring at that Miss Delahaye.
You all seem to be enjoying yourselves capitally. We heard the music.
Yes, Donna Lucia has been playing for us.
Has she? How charming of you, Donna Lucia. Charlie, whatever would we have done without your aunt?
Oh, I'd expect we should have managed somehow.
Are you fond of music, Mr. Spettigew?
I hope to be.
Woo!
Donna Lucia, are you all right?
What are you playing at? She pinched me.
Amy, for goodness sake, let's get them all out into the garden and leave Donna Lucia alone with Mr. Spettigew.
I like Kitty very much, I must say, Jack.
She's such a splendid girl. I'm glad you know about her.
Mm. And you've thought this matter over well?
Night and day, ever since I first met her.
It's a serious step, you know, a very serious step.
Uncle, it's such a sweet evening. Perhaps we could go into the garden.
A capital idea. You can enjoy your cigars in the garden.
No, thank you.
Oh, but Jack, you must. The vista is too heavenly.
Ow.
So sorry. Come along. It's such a sweet evening. Come along, Charlie.
I don't know. I feel a bit off it. Maybe I should be better here, inside.
I'm sure you shall be better in the garden. Come along, Miss Delahaye. You too.
Oh, yes. The moon is just rising. How beautiful.
Not you, Donna Lucia.
Oh, but don't you want to see the heavenly moon vista thingy?
In a moment.
Shall we join them, Lucy?
Yes, it's a charity to leave these two people alone.
Indeed, why?
Only a little, shall we say, matchmaking mischief, that's all.
They've gone, Donna Lucia. They've gone.
Yes, so they have.
How I long for this moment. Lucia, I must speak with you.
No!
No.
No, I'm very angry with you.
Lucia, you wound me. Don't say that.
But I do. You're all in the carriage coming here. You made me a promise. That promise has not been kept.
Promise?
The consent you promised in writing.
Consent?
The consent to the betrothal of your niece Amy to Mr. Wickham and your ward Kitty to Mr. Chesney.
Oh, that consent.
Yes, that consent.
Lucia, how can you worry about that when we have so much to say that more nearly concerns ourselves?
No, we have not. You don't know me. I am no ordinary woman.
Lucia. Listen to me, I beg you.
I'll listen to you with pleasure, but where is the letter you promised me?
Will you hear me, Lucia?
I'll hear you with pleasure when you give me the letter.
Lucia, do I deserve this?
She deserves 6 months, the old goat.
Lucia,
You're a puzzle, an enigma.
Until you give me the letter, all is over between us.
Very well. I'll go to my room now. A brief note.
Giving full consent and signed.
Then you'll say you'll be mine.
Then I'll say anything you like.
Darling. Oh.
Time for a quick cigar before he gets back.
Are you alone?
Oh.
I saw Mrs. Pettigrew leave. Are you all right?
Yes, just the night air, don't you know?
What a dreadful smell of smoke.
Yes, I noticed it myself. I'll go and find out who it is.
No, don't go. I wanted to talk to you about your late husband, Dom Pedro.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Do you know, when I met Dom Pedro, he told me he had no wife.
Oh, the wicked storyteller. Ah, but he was a cruel husband.
Oh, the Dom Pedro I knew was noble, kind, and gentle.
Was he? Oh, that must have been his father. Old chap, big white moustache.
Donna Lucia, there appears to be smoke coming out of your sleeve.
Is there?
Ow! A cigar!
Oh, how did that get there?
Perhaps you were smoking. Don't be ashamed of your little secret. So many Brazilian ladies do, you know.
Well, that's just it. It was only not being in Brazil. I thought it might seem strange, you know.
Smoking cigars.
Auntie, here's your wrap.
Thank you, dear. I'm going into the garden. I fancy Sir Francis has something to say to me. And it is rather chilly. Perhaps you'd better stay in and talk to Donna Lucia.
But, Auntie...
And remember, no hint we know she's an imposter. Not yet.
You know... She does remind me of someone. I just can't think who.
We'll find out soon enough. Now remember, not a word.
Very well. Aunt is right. It has turned rather chilly.
Oh, can I get you a wrap of any kind?
No, I'm better here. I've been ill, you know.
Oh, but I didn't know.
I'm all right now, of course, but I have to take care.
Yes, you must take great care.
Auntie, I fancy, is more particular than usual this evening. For, you know, years ago, she and Sir Francis were sweethearts. Isn't that romantic?
Yes, it is.
But he went away without telling her that he was ever so fond of her. Auntie says he was shy, and he went away without knowing that she was ever and ever so fond of him. Ah, but then the noblest man I ever knew was shy, too, and, oh, so kind.
Was he?
He got to know how Papa had become ill and so poor and lost a large sum of money to him at cards. Auntie thinks on purpose. I often wondered why they played cards and Papa so ill, too. But when I asked the doctor if it wasn't doing him harm, he said, not the game that was being played. I've still got all the money, and if we ever meet, I mean to give it back.
Oh, no, you must never think of doing that. It would be like accusing him of sort of cheating, you know.
Oh, but it was so much, enough, Auntie says, to make me independent for life.
And do you think he'd ever take it back if he knew that?
Oh, but I should feel it my duty. But he went away before I had time to tell him how much I loved him.
Oh.
For his kindness to my poor father. You don't mind me telling you all this, do you? I don't know why, but I like to talk to you. I like you. And I do so long to see him again.
Donna Lucia.
And Miss Delahaye.
Do excuse me. I must go and get my own wrap. It is so chilly.
Lucia, here's the letter.
Thank heavens.
First, make my happiness complete. Say that from this blissful moment, we are engaged.
We're engaged.
Then here it is.
Thank you so much. Mr. Spettigue.
Call me Stephen.
This is the letter, Stephen.
That is the letter, and we are betrothed.
You'll excuse me one moment.
Done it! Now, Kitty, my love, you and your fortune can do what they damn well please. It said in the Times she was a millionaire's twice over. Sir Francis and Mrs. Buttercup Smythe, congratulate me. I'm the happiest man in the world.
And one of the richest.
I'm sorry.
But where are the dear children? This must be a day of happiness and rejoicing for us all. Children!
But what does he mean? What's all this excitement about?
Can't you guess?
No.
Didn't I tell you what would happen if we left them alone?
Huh?
Don't you understand? He's proposed. And I rather think she's accepted him.
You mean Spettigewen?
Donna Lucia Dalvadoris, yes.
Well, I'm jiggered.
I rather think he'll find out his mistake before long.
It makes me see what a fool I nearly was.
Oh?
Thing is, Lucy, that rascal of a boy of mine made some sort of stupid suggestion that
You should offer your heart and hand to Donna Lucia Dalvadoris from Brazil, where the nuts come from. Well,
yes, when I think of what a fool I was, might have been, should have been.
Then you don't envy him.
Envy him?
Think of her millions.
Oh, Lucy. But when I saw your face...
You didn't recognize it.
No. No, but when I did... But I told you all that in the garden just now, and... you'll be content for a while with a little cottage and your old sweetheart.
And you? You take me, a penniless widow?
Nothing could make me happier.
Frank.
Lucy. Lucy, why are you smiling like that?
I was only thinking.
Of what?
Of Donna Lucia Dalvadoris.
Auntie, did you find it too chilly, even with your wrap?
I didn't notice, my love.
Auntie, how pretty you look tonight. Mr. Francis.
Shh.
Come along, my dear children, come along. Kitty, you sit there, Amy there. Now, is everyone comfortable? I've something to tell you, something you'll all be very pleased to hear. But where is Donna Lucia?
Oh, I passed her on the stairs. She's just going to her room.
Well, before she returns, I have a secret to tell you.
Oh.
I'm sure you'll all pardon me if I ask for your attention for a few moments.
What's he going to say, Jack?
How do I know that he said it?
Situated as I am, a lonely widower, mateless uncle, surrounded by grave responsibilities, my ward, my niece, a good fairy has, may I say, tripped in among us, bringing with her unexpected light and joy.
Who does he mean, Jack?
Shut up.
Under her influence, I've consented to the engagement of my niece to a gentleman in whose honor and probity I have the fullest confidence. Mr. Charles Wickham.
Oh, Charlie, how sweet of your dear aunt.
Furthermore, charmed by her irresistible spells, I consented to the union of my ward with Jack, only son of my good friend, Sir Francis Chesney.
Congratulations, my boy.
Thank you, Father.
But what, I wonder, would you say to a third engagement?
What?
Our good fairy, nay, let me add without further metaphor, one whose name is as honored in the southern hemisphere as that of Rothschild is in Europe, has consented to become Mrs. Stephen Spettigue. I allude to our dear friend, Donna Lucia Dalvadoris.
Mr. Spettigue, I can listen to this ghastly farrago no longer.
Mr. Wickham, sir, what do you mean?
I say, sir, and I don't care what the result may be, I can listen to this ghastly farrago.
I presume, sir, in espousing my niece.
I can't. I won't espouse her under these false and lying pretenses. That woman...
Do you allude in such a manner to your aunt?
I say, that woman...
I must beg you to speak with more respect of your aunt.
She is not my aunt.
Not your aunt? What do you mean?
I love Amy far too sincerely.
Never mind that, sir. Explain your words.
Mr. Spettigue, will you allow me to say the blame is mine and let me explain?
I'm addressing this person. Answer, sir. Explain your words.
At the last moment, this morning, my aunt, on whose account we had invited Miss Verdun and Miss Spettigue, telegraphed to say she couldn't come. The ladies arrived, and we...
And I, sir, prevailed upon another person to, well...
To personate her? I've been treacherously, infamously deceived.
That was not our intention, sir.
Don't lie to me, sir.
You remember you were not expected.
Yeah, come in.
Turn that woman out of my house!
Hello, everyone.
Who, sir, are you? And who let you into my house?
You did yourself, as a matter of fact. In fact, you even offered to carry me over the threshold. You see?
Well,
I'm Charlie's aunt from Brazil, where the nuts come from.
Fancourt Beverly, you duffer!
Fancourt Beverly, sir, I beg your pardon.
Auntie, Fancourt Beverly.
I did wonder.
And I told him everything.
What does this mean, sir?
Well, it means we've all done you very wrong, and we're all extremely sorry, and tender you our humblest apologies.
We have no words to express our contrition.
It's infamous! Infamous! But where is the document obtained from me under these fraudulent pretenses?
Never fear, I have that quite safe.
It's mine, by rights, uncle.
Give it to me, sir. I demand it.
Allow me.
Madam, please. I shall dispute this under the terms of a father's will. I shall most definitely dispute this.
This letter is addressed and has been delivered to Donna Lucia Dalvadores.
But she... he... is not Donna Lucia Dalvadores.
No, but I am.
You?
Lucy!
You? Donna Lucia?
My aunt.
You'll pardon me if I retire. And as for you, Fancourt Beverly, I shall report you to your college first thing in the morning.
Charlie, can he have me up for breach of promise?
Charlie! I mean, Mr. Wickham, how dare you?
Amy, dear.
I'll never forgive any of you for treating Uncle Stephen like that.
Amy.
Be patient with us, my dear. Your uncle will, I imagine, be more forgiving when he has the most profound reparation my money can make. For my own part, I only shared in the deception when I found another lady established in my place.
No wonder she knew all about my late husband. Can you forgive me, Ella?
There's nothing to forgive. I knew we should meet again.
I'm afraid you have gained from Ella one confidence nothing could excuse.
I know, and I reproach myself beyond expression. But I wouldn't part with the memory of that confidence to save my life. And if Miss Delahaye will allow me to say so, I am willing to atone for it with a lifelong devotion.
Thank God.
Amy, dear, I'm sure Charlie is truly sorry. I know I'd trust Jack with my life.
Indeed. Then he must wait till I'm his mother.
Mother?
Yes. Donna Lucia, in deceiving me as much as anybody, has, however, done me the honor to recollect old affection and has promised to assume that authority. So, look out, Jack.
Yes, Jack, I shall have to talk to you very seriously before giving you this letter. And, Charlie, I'll never forgive you if you deceive that sweet girl again. And as for you, Fancourt Beverly, if I ever catch you impersonating me...
Oh, no, never again. I give my word, all that's behind me now for good. I'll even give you the clothes if you like. Miss Delahaye has consented to think of me as a husband, and so in future, I resign to Sir Francis Chesney all claims to Charlie's aunt.
Oh, Robert!
In Charlie's Aunt, Charlie was played by Morgan George and Jack Chesney was played by John Griffin, with Chris Langham as Lord Fancourt Beverly. The role of Sir Francis Chesney was played by Derek Griffiths, Stephen Spettigue was played by James Quinn, Amy Spettigue was played by Rena Mahoney, and Kitty Verdun was played by Fenella Woolgarth. The part of Donna Lucia was played by Bridget Forsyth, and Alison Darling played Ella Delahaye. Charlie's Aunt was written by Brandon Thomas and adapted for radio by Jonathan Hall. The play was directed by Polly Thomas and recorded live at Manchester Grammar School.